Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Sherry Villa. Coming from a long line of fabulous cooks in her family, Sherry has owned the 350 Grill for 18 years, which she started after working in the service industry her whole life. Active in fundraising for the community, Sherry has raised money for the American Cancer Society, Forest Park Association, and the Shrines, just to name a few. She feels passionately about giving back to surrounding communities. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Do you want to start off by sharing more about you and what you do with our audience?
Well, we serve dinner. We have a good time with everybody here. We try to be activities and fundraisers that involve the entire community. And we try to change our menu monthly, seasonally, so that, you know, there's something for everybody at all times.
Absolutely. And so how do you come up with the different things that you do between activities and menus and everything that's happening within the restaurant?
Well, during the holiday season, so for instance, October and November is fall. So our menu is based on fall foods, especially locally grown things. And we do a give back Thursday or Wednesday during Thanksgiving, which we have a celebrity bartender. And sometimes two or three celebrity bartenders work together, and I give 10% of the proceeds that night for whatever they want it to go to, whatever charity they're working towards. So this year, it's going towards cancer patients. It's totally goes to research or helping, no administration. And it's a big push. Usually we get a big pull from it, and local businesses donate raffle items, and all that money goes to the thing, to the charity, and it's usually pretty good. And it's a way for everybody to try and give back a little bit.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that offering something like that likely brings in some new faces into the restaurant as well.
It does for sure. So I mean, it helps me too, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when anyone in the Springfield area is looking to go out to dinner or have any type of meal out, I'm sure there's many restaurants that they can choose from. What would you say sets yours apart from the rest? What makes it different or unique or a really wonderful experience for people to have?
I think one of the good things about our restaurant is that we have live entertainment Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, sometimes on, and Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and sometimes on Wednesday. So it's not just out to dinner and out and back home. It can be your whole evening out. We get a lot of birthday parties because of that, a lot of celebrations. We also have a banquet room that can take care of parties of, you know, 10 or more, up to 40 or 50 people. That seems to be a big draw as well. The patio is, people love the patio. We serve even New Year's Eve on the patio. The windows
up. Awesome.
It's fun. It's pretty. It really is pretty. It's decorated for fall right now. And then the week after Thanksgiving, it'll be decorated for Christmas through January. And then we start all over again.
That's great. And that's also really awesome that you have, it sounds like, four, sometimes five nights of live entertainment. Because I feel like with many places around where I am in Massachusetts, that it's kind of just like that Friday, Saturday night. So it's nice that you give so many options for people to come in and, like you said, really have a whole night out of it.
Right. And plus it's live music. It's not just a DJ. Sometimes we'll have a DJ, but it's live music, and it's geared towards, I would say, 35 plus. It's not like a dance club. It's music that you can get up and dance to if you want to. Sometimes people go and ask if they can sing with a piano player. It's just very comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'd love to hear more about how you find some of these live singers or live music that's happening and being able to bring them within the restaurant and kind of have new people there often so people can hear new things and be able to meet new musicians.
Well, if I'm out and about and I hear a band that I like, I ask for their card. A lot of bands refer other bands too. They'll say, oh, if you like us, you'll like this one. That happens. Plus, one of the things that I used to do was run the Gaslight Room. It was an old dance club in Springfield. And lots of those big vans, like real big vans, were you'd book them for a week. And lots of them are now older and just having duets and stuff. So I knew them before anyways, run into them at the grocery store and say, oh, what are you doing? And just, it's been lucky for me. It's been very lucky for me.
Yeah, which is awesome.
The musicians are just so talented. Sunday nights is jazz night. And we work with jazz musicians that are actually teachers. They teach, lots of them come from the music school here and locally. And they're fabulous entertainers. And a lot of the jazz singers come from New York. It's crazy how you meet these famous people that are singing all over the world or have sung all over the world. And here they are playing on Sunday night for peanuts.
But it's great for you being able to have that entertainment. Absolutely. And so as you're talking about menus specifically, as you're developing new menus for each season or even offering like weekly specials, what inspiration do you get from that? Or do your chefs get from that with being able to incorporate new food items?
I think, I'm not exactly sure what the question is, but are you asking where I get the ideas?
Yes, an inspiration for what goes on the menu.
So we all go out, we're all foodies, of course, kind of goes with the business. So if we go out to eat and we see something we like, we'll tell whoever, the chef, and we try to put our own twist to it, or we'll go in the kitchen and play with it for a while. And recently our chef went to Las Vegas and he went to one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants. And he loved the scallops with pork belly. And so he just changed it a little bit. And now it's on the menu. And we just play with, you know, like I said, we were all chefs. We've all cooked for our whole lives. And we just feed off of each other's ideas and or when we go to restaurants. If there's something, I mean, like, have you ever had the Baked Alaska Max Downtown in Hartford? It's fabulous. It's wonderful. It's made in, it's like, so we're working on making a Baked Alaska here. It's just things like are just fun. You try to copy a little bit, but put your own twist on it.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that probably your customers might share some things that they're looking for too. If they mention perhaps wanting to try something on a menu or something like that, I can imagine that that probably dictates things that you might put together or creations you might make.
Yes. For instance, sea bass is on the menu right now. It's with an orange blood sauce, but we had it on the menu earlier in the year with a miso sauce. And that came from one of our customers said, hey, I had it in New York. It was cooked with a miso sauce. Can you make that? And so we get it like that for a while. That's, you know, basically ideas. We try to please everybody at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one interesting thing that I learned about you prior to the show is that you come from a long line of cooks within your family. And so I'd love to kind of hear more about that and how your family members or anyone else close to you has influenced what you've done in your career with having your own restaurant.
Well, let's see. My grandmother, my father's mother, was a chef and a baker. So my fondest memory of her is whenever you walked in the house, you smelled fresh bread. Mm. So my sister has become a baker. She makes all of our desserts homemade. And that's a huge influence on us. My grandmother was also she cooked mostly comfort food, like fried chicken. My father was from the South. Fried chicken, baked beans, barbecue. So we have that under our belt. My sister, my mother's brother was a chef in a local restaurant several years back, and he did local food, local like seafood, meatloaf, that type of stuff, comfort food also. Mm-hmm. And so we all learned how to make that. And then my sister married an Italian chef from Italy, and crash course Italian food for all of us, and probably the best bolognese you'll ever have in your life.
Oh, yum.
And so we, like I said, we all cook. All of us have always cooked. My mother was just as good a cook too, but she was mostly like chicken and dumplings, comfort food. And we run those things too. And you'd be surprised how many people order comfort food. Like I never even think of making meatloaf or anything anymore at home. But it's surprising how many people, when you run lasagna or meatloaf or chicken and dumplings, it like flies out of the house.
Interesting.
On Tuesday or Wednesday nights, people want to eat comfort food.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Because I feel like for me personally on the weekends, like I want the pizza or I want like the chicken tenders. But during the week, I kind of like to stick to those classics, especially with the colder weather coming in. I feel like that probably is a good time of year to want those more like staples or traditional meals for dinner and whatnot.
Yeah, we just put veal ossobuco on the menu last week. And we'll run it off and on for the fall. And again, people are just loving veal ossobuco. It looks like a lumberjack's meal, but people love it.
So interesting to hear about the things that people end up enjoying that you originally think they wouldn't enjoy, which is funny.
It is true.
Yeah, it's so funny. But it is interesting also to hear just all of the influence that your family has had through what you've done and through the meals that you've created. And I think it's great that you also have, is it your sister you said who's the baker who's on board?
Yes, she works.
Yeah. And so how have you found that family dynamic working well within your business? Do you find that things are okay? Does it ever get difficult working with family members? I'd love to hear more about having like a family run business in that sense.
Well, of course it gets difficult. I'd be a complete liar if I said that there's not issues with working with family. You know, that's definitely an issue, but I do trust you. You know, you trust your family. It's a cash business, and I think people enjoy seeing the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I think people like that. I think people respect it. I think people feel safe because they feel like it's not just a big giant corporation trying to take over everything. I think people are starting to go back to they like little things instead of the big chains and. I think they're finding value in that. So as difficult as it can be because of personalities or everyone wants the same vacation day or whatever, but I think it's also a huge asset.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially knowing the skills and talent that she has just like you have from all of the family that's come before you who has been in the industry. I think just having those passed down to you is huge and being able to bring it right into the business.
Yes, I'm lucky, very lucky.
Yeah, awesome. And so in addition to what you're currently working on within the restaurant, which is the live music that's happening, and then also in November being able to donate some proceeds to charities, is there anything else that's happening within the restaurant that is exciting and something that you'd like to share with our audience right now?
Well, book a Christmas party now because it's a short week. So all the Christmas parties are already, there's so many dates already taken, and we do a big Christmas party. We're doing a Halloween party. And believe it or not, a lot of the Christmas parties spill over into January because some of the places just can't get the Friday night they want. So they have an after Christmas party. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I leave Christmas decorations up through the whole month of January. And then, of course, New Year's Eve is huge. And we always have live music. And it's pretty fun. It's really fun.
Yeah, I feel like the holiday season is a great season for restaurants, just with all of the, like you said, all the parties, all of the fun and all of the celebrating that people do. It's a great way to just kind of provide a space where people can celebrate one another and look forward to the holiday season.
Definitely, definitely. And we work a little bit with the Polish Club in Munson, which is where I grew up. My brother is the president there, and he does a lot of fundraisers for needy children, whether it's diabetes or cancer or glasses. They're a nonprofit organization. So we donate to that and do a lot of Christmas stuff with them as well. So believe it or not, some of the old Munson people come up here for dinner afterwards, you know, the next week. So it's kind of a good way to keep my community together. It kind of works out nice.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that as you were talking about the community that you've built just from having this business. I'd love to hear kind of maybe people that you've met just from having a restaurant or your community that you've been able to build just by being such a staple within the area.
I have so many friends. I've been doing this since I was 16 years old. And believe it or not, the liquor distributors have become very good customers of mine and friends. The Sadowskis used to have the Budweiser business, and they ran the Jimmy Fund. So I Chefs for Jimmy. So I participated in that for a very long time. And so I met all the distributors, all the chefs locally. Mm-hmm. And they we all give back to each other. We all go to each other's places. Yeah. It's been very, very, very great for me. So I'm so lucky. I know so many people from being in the business down here for so long. We're lucky. We're really lucky. And I feel blessed that I've made it this long, because it's unusual for a restaurant to make it this long, small restaurant, not a chain.
Yeah, which is a great point, because I feel like in the town where I grew up, which was Bridgewater down on the South Coast, I remember specifically there was one restaurant in the center of town that I feel like every 3 years it was getting a new owner and a new name. And so that's a great point that you bring up, that it is a huge accomplishment to, for now almost 20 years, have had the 350 Grill just with yourself.
Yeah, it's been a challenge. It's been hard. COVID was, you know, we almost lost it during COVID. It was hard. And it's been a hard comeback, even with PPP money, because, you know, people are afraid. But it's starting to come back really good this year. And then I had the unfortunate experience this year of my landlord, which is, I mean, if you know Springfield at all, it's a big landmark, the Mardi Gras and Adult Entertainment Club, is next door to me. And they owned the building. They sold the building and closed the adult entertainment place. So everybody thought we were closed. So it was struggle. This summer, but it seems to be coming back. We even did a wedding last week.
Amazing.
Yeah, I've had like 6 weddings here. I'm so happy.
That's great. So people looking to have the reception there?
Yeah, I've had people actually get married here. Six couples have actually gotten married here, and I've had wedding rehearsal dinners. Mm. You know, the night before, I've had several of those, and I've actually had maybe 6 or 7 more receptions afterwards.
Nice.
People get married here. Vow renewals. It's a small little room, but people like it. I had one wedding here. It was an Asian wedding, and they took the back half of the restaurant and they decorated it with all those balloons and lights. It truly looked like we were in China or something. It was so cool. It was so pretty and so cool. And they had a beautiful time. They had their own little music in the back. I was impressed. They did the decorating. It was so neat. It was like, wow, how cool is this?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And that's great that you're able to have a space that can serve so many different functions and uses based on what people need and what they're looking for.
Yeah, it's great. Central Ohio usually has their end of the year party here. And you know, it's the teachers and guidance mm-hmm. counselors, and they have a grand old time. So there's all local people. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And so talk more about your entrepreneurship journey specifically. I know you were in the service industry for a long time before you finally made the decision to go out on your own and start your own restaurant. And so what was that like of coming to the realization that you wanted to be your own boss and do your own thing? And how did you know it was time?
I really didn't. But my journey wasn't always with restaurants. I mean, I worked in restaurants, and then I ended up working for a company that bought and developed restaurants, small restaurants, but mostly bars, local bars, including the Mardi Gras. My job was, as they made a purchase, I would go and remodel, set it up, get it organized, create an employee team and a management team, stay with them for about a year or however long it took to get it up and running. And then there'd be another acquisition and I would go and do it again. So I've had a lot of business with several places that weren't mine. And at one point I got an opportunity to move. I didn't have a child yet, to Las Vegas. And my the man that I worked for said, listen, if you stay with me and keep doing this, eventually I'll give you your own restaurant. So I really thought it was going to be on the shore somewhere. Up here. So, and I will tell you that it was so hard to go from like a small little restaurant, little place, little local bar with pub food or even specials to go to a full scale steakhouse. I thought I knew everything. Well, like all young business people, the learning curve is pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
You don't know as much as you think you're going to know. And the first couple years were real eye openers.
Yeah. But I can imagine that you're glad that you took that risk and did something that may have been a little bit uncomfortable, because now almost 20 years later, look at you now and having this established, well-known restaurant that people in the area love frequenting and visiting.
Yeah, I feel lucky. I feel very, very, very lucky. Don't know how much longer I'm going to make it. I'm almost 70, but we'll see.
And that's one thing too. I know that sometimes, or most of the time, being in the restaurant business can bring tricky hours, whether it's late nights or long days. How do you balance that with your personal life, with being able to juggle all that you do at work and then being able to ensure that you have time for yourself to unwind and relax?
I think it was more difficult when I was younger and raising a child by myself. But now my son's moved away. My grandchild, of course, lives with them. And so I really basically have everything to do myself. I do go away every couple of months for a week or whatever, nowhere around here. I go visit my son in Florida a lot. So I have plenty of time, but if I'm home, I just work. Why not? That's what there is to do. I do try to go out to dinner or lunch once a week, but other than that.
Yeah. I think that's a good point too, because it makes me think of the fact that like a work-life balance isn't always going to be 50-50. And I think what's really important is just finding whatever that balance means to you. And so, like you said, being able to every few months or a couple times a year, take that 1 week off and being able to use that time to recharge and regroup will help you to come back feeling so much more ready and probably even inspired to bring new things into the business.
It does make a difference. It changes your attitude. Everybody needs downtime. But, you know, I would say for especially women, it's difficult to work full time and bring up a child and manage a house. And it's a lot of work. I'm not saying it's not a lot of work for a man too, but, you know, being a mother is a little different than being a father, because the little kids come to you first. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. And I give women a lot of credit for out there trying to work. So I've been there. I know how hard it can be, especially if you don't have a lot of help.
Definitely.
So, you know, and I give credit to people that can make it through it and keep going, keep their careers going. And, you know, there's other things that happen in life that are important, especially for single women. And it's, you lose a parent or a loved one. It takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on, you know, it is.
Yeah.
I think we're a little bit more emotional than men, and it affects you in every way. Sometimes being in a public place where you have all your friends, not necessarily your friends, but you feel like this extended family. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good. It feels good. It feels good. You need to just nurture yourself through it.
Oh, absolutely. And feel comfortable, which is great. Sounds like you really feel comfortable and good about where you are within the business, which I think is so important. And especially like you mentioned, having coworkers or employees who all have a close bond and you all know that you can rely on one another.
I still get Mother's Day cards from kids that worked for me for 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I have an employee that's out sick for a little while right now. And he called me and said, you know, you're like my mother. I really miss you. I want to come visit you, but I can't yet. So it's Aww. So, you know, it's and like everybody is just, we're all together. It's just,
you
create a big family. It's an extended family. And it's just nice. It's nice to be appreciated and loved.
Absolutely. And so with the 350 Grill being in Springfield, what do you enjoy about having your restaurant in Springfield specifically? Like, what about the area or the location do you enjoy the most?
Oh, I like that. I parts of me love that it's downtown because that's what Springfield is down. You know, there's a casino now, and that I have gotten lucky with that. I've teamed up with some of the promoters there, and I actually am getting business from them, and we're working well together. I like that. I like that. It's not so far over the bridge or off of 91 that the people from over the bridge, Avalon, West Springfield, or Long Meadow, East Long Meadow, don't want to come down. They come, they still come. It's great. So it's a good location as far as that goes. Sometimes there's bad publicity downtown that hurts us, but you know, the gas explosion certainly didn't help. You know, the gas lines were broken for a while, so people got scared with that. You know, and like any other inner city, there's sometimes bad publicity, and sometimes that hurts business. But
yeah,
I know everybody now, and it is what it is. We're gonna push through this.
Well, especially having it for almost 20 years, and now it probably feels like you're in a point where things feel good and things feel secure. So it's probably nice to know that.
Yes, yes, it's been a struggle off and on, but you know, I think we're okay. We're doing good.
Absolutely.
Time will tell.
Yes. And so for anyone who's listening to this episode who may be thinking about getting into the restaurant business themselves, what advice would you have to give to them?
Be patient. Be patient. Be willing to learn. Don't think you know everything, because if you haven't really already been in the business, you really don't know everything. Be patient. Take constructive criticism. Listen to your critics, because nobody knows everything. I would say have wide eyes open. Look at everything. Don't be narrow-minded. You know, and then of course everything depends on how good your help is or whatever. Get good training programs.
Yeah. Those are all great advice, especially the one that you mentioned about keeping your eyes wide open, because it makes me think about what you mentioned earlier in the show, where the more staple meals or the more classics are the ones that people really seem to enjoy. So it's like being able to kind of consider all perspectives and preferences and viewpoints and things like that can lead to good decisions and some good outcomes.
Yeah, anything's possible. Just got to try.
Yeah, absolutely. And so being in the Springfield area, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests that come on the show is what their favorite local businesses are to support. And so I'd love if you could share where you enjoy to frequent local businesses or your favorite places to shop from.
It's local, very, very local.
Anywhere in Massachusetts.
Anywhere in Massachusetts. Okay. I love going up to Shelbourne Falls, where the Bridge of Flowers is. I love those little shops. The Gypsy Apple food is neat. It's interesting. I like it there. I like shopping. I'm a boutique shopper, so I like the Eclectic Peacock in Enfield. And I like In Chic Boutique right here in Long Meadow. As far as food goes, I'm kind of spoiled. I like, we already know I'm not really a comfort food fan, but so I like Max downtown in Hartford. I like Brico's in West Hartford. I eat out here, but they're not my favorites. I mean, I just told you my favorite. I like upscale food. So
yeah.
Maybe Boston, of course, there's a million places to go in Boston, but, and they're all wonderful. It's a totally different kind of lifestyle there. So
yes, absolutely. Well, Sherry, this has been such a great episode, and I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to have you share about everything that you've done within the 350 Grill. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Okay. It's 350grillsteakhouse.net at gmail.com. Or no, that's my website, at .net. And I'm on 350 Worthington Street, Springfield. The telephone number is 413-439-0666.
Perfect. And I will link to those places and also your social media profiles as well within the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.